Look at somebody, say Happy Resurrection Sunday. My father always told me that the early bird gets the worm, so you guys are here. You ought to just clap for yourself because you got here early. But anytime anybody gets anywhere early, it's because they already got plans, y'all. Yeah, I know. If you would just turn in your Bibles or they'll bring it up on the screen. I'm going to move real quick into the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 26, verse 55. Also Matthew chapter 28, verse 5. I'll be reading out of a different version than you. It's the Message translation, but I believe that God's going to give clarity to us this morning. Matthew 26, verse 55 says, "Then Jesus addressed the mob." This is right after Jesus. This is while Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, "Then Jesus addressed the mob. What is this coming out after me with swords and clubs as if I were a dangerous criminal? What is this coming out after me with swords and clubs as if I were a dangerous criminal? Day after day, I have been sitting in the temple teaching, and you never so much as lifted a hand against me. You've done it this way to confirm and fulfill the prophetic writings." Then all the disciples cut and ran. Matthew chapter 28, verse 5 says, "And the angel spoke to the women, 'There is nothing to fear here. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He is not here. He was raised just as he said. Come and look at the place where he was placed.'" Just for a few moments, I want to minister from this simple subject, the greatest heist in history. The greatest heist in history. You may be seated. What if I told you that I have evidence to prove that Jesus was involved in criminal activity? Now, I know he's your Savior. I know he's your Christ. I know he's your Lord. I know he's your Master. I know he's your everything. I know you worship and bow before him. I know that you got your prayer shawl and you worship Jesus and you got a picture of him in your house. But what if I told you that Jesus did not die as innocent as you may think? I know he's your Savior. I know he's your Christ. I know he's your Lord. I know he's your Master. And before you think I'm a conspiracy theorist that I've been watching the History Channel or uttering heretical ideas, I want you to know that there were three thieves that died on Golgotha's hill. In Karl Barth's writing called "The Deliverance to the Captives," he suggests that it is improper to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ unless you revisit the Good Friday. And you don't just see one cross, but you see three crosses where there is two thieves on the side of Jesus, one on his left and one on his right. And he says that it is improper for us to really highlight the work and the power of what God was doing through Jesus unless we revisit and look at this image where there were three crosses. There were three men who died. There were three men who were beaten. There were three men who were crucified. All of them were arrested and sentenced and exposed to the same public abuse, the same pain, the same slow and irrevocable death. He said, it's improper to see Jesus outside of being connected to bad people. What I want to suggest to you today, I know he's our Savior. I know he's our Christ. I know he's our Lord. I know you've dedicated your life to following Jesus. But at this particular time in the Jewish culture, Jesus was not their Savior. Jesus was not their Lord. He was a radical. He was a person who he was a lawbreaker. He was he had some superpowers. He said some things, but he was not their Savior. As a matter of fact, the Jewish people looked at him because he was from Galilee. His headquarters was in Galilee. And you know at this particular time that Jerusalem was on the Roman, under Roman rule. So the Romans ruled Jerusalem. The Jews were only able to practice their religion, and the Galileans at this particular time was very volatile people. They had to keep a watchful eye on the Galileans because they were stirring up a friction. They were the ones that were coming against the Roman government. They were the ones that were saying that we're not going to stay under Roman rule. So they had their eye on Jesus. At this particular time. So you have the Sanhedrin Council and you have all the Jewish leaders. They were roaming around the city. I know that we've been taught that the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were out and among the people, watching the people. Why? Because they did not want anything they didn't want a revolt. They didn't want civil unrest, because at this particular time, the Romans would just come and annihilate the people. So now you have this Jesus that shows up with his teaching. He has a following. He has a posse. And he's telling them, you don't have to wash your hands before you eat. He's telling them, guess what? I am the resurrection. And the Jewish leaders are looking at him saying, who in the world is this man? You have Jesus. You have this Jesus who shows up on the Sabbath where there is to be no work. And he shows up in the temple where there's a man with a withered hand. And he heals the man on the Sabbath. And they question him, what in the world are you doing? You say that you're connected to the Father. You say that you're the only begotten Son of the Father. But you're doing things as though you disregard his law. Because if you were his son, you would respect what he put in place, y'all. And so now at this particular time, he is doing stuff. And people are looking at him like, you think you are above the law. Because there was to be no work on the Sabbath. And he heals this man in the temple of this withered hand. And they say, by what power do you do this? He says, the Sabbath was made for me. Now, I know you get happy about Jesus saying the Sabbath was made for me, but at this particular time, the people are looking at him and saying, this man is out of his mind to say that the Sabbath was made for him. No, the Sabbath was made for God. So inside of the Jewish culture, the people are looking at him saying, what? You are the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the King. That is blasphemy, which is punishable by what? By death. So I know he's your Savior. I know he's your Christ. I know he's your Lord. I know he's your Master. I know he's your everything. I know he rose on the third day. But at this particular time, they don't respect him. If Jesus was possibly here today, right among us in the United States, physically, right here in the United States, had an address, had a telephone number, or he lived in a particular city, you know what he would be considered? A domestic terrorist. Jesus would be on the no-fly list. They would have revoked his passport to travel outside of the country. Why? Because what Jesus is telling the people at this particular time seems to be strange. It seems as though he's twisting the scriptures. Seems as though he's pulling all the attention on himself to say, I have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. It seems to be in this culture that he's trying to draw attention to himself versus keeping the attention on God. He has radical claims. Yes, he's a prophet. Yes, he has powers. But guess what? At this particular time, he's telling people, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. What in the world? What man would say this? No, we cut lambs. We slit the lamb's throat and we give them to the high priest to offer up to God. What do you mean drink my blood and eat my flesh at this particular time? This was strange. This was strange talk. This was diabolical talk. This was heretical talk for him to say that he was the resurrection, to say that I would destroy the temple and on 3 days I will raise it back up again. The people are looking strange at him to say, I know he has power. I know he has a huge following, but he's a criminal. Because he would not abide by the Jewish law. If you don't believe me, you can look within the scriptures yourself, or you can sit down and talk with an Orthodox Jew to actually discuss their depiction and their picture of who Jesus was. He was not noted as a prophet of theirs. He was not noted as a rabbi of theirs. Why? Because he was not of their school. But he makes claims. They're wanting to stone Jesus, and he slips through the crowd. He disappears him. They're wanting to stone Jesus because of the teaching, but they can't put their finger on him. That sounds like a domestic terrorist to me. What I'm suggesting to you today is that when Pilate, when he's presented to Pilate, this domestic terrorist does not try to defend himself. He says, are you the king of the Jews? What you must understand, at this particular time, the king of the Jews was Herod. The Romans had given this title to Herod because he was a great leader. And so for a man to rise up to say that he was the king of the Jews, or for people to say he was the king of Jews, was actually disrespectful to what the Romans had put in place. Oh, I know it's early in the morning, I'm giving you history, but I gotta paint the picture for you. So at this particular time, he doesn't defend himself. He says, you have spoken. He said, are you the king of the Jews? He says, you have spoken. There's nothing that I need to say. There's nothing that I need to convey to you to let you know, but my actions have proved who I am. That has to be some confident man that knows his assignment so well to know what he came to the earth to do, to say, guess what? It is spoken. You have spoken what you've said. Listen, my acts have proven that guess what? I am who I am. I don't have to prove myself to you. And some of you right now, you have lost time in your life because you've been trying to prove stuff to too many people in your life versus just being who God created you to be. But unlike the other thieves that are on side of him on Good Friday, Jesus is a different type of thief. He's of a different type of pedigree. Why? Because his actions are born out of his identity. Jesus, in other words, I do what I am. Which makes his very identity criminal. I do what I am. I do what I am. Yes, I came to offend people. Yes, I came. Yes, I came to offend people. Yes, I came to rip up the temple and say, you have made my father's house a den of thieves. No, and this shall be the cause of prayer. Yes. I've set mother against our son and son against father. Yes. I came to get some things in order. See, some of you think that when we refer to Jesus as the Prince of Peace, that is someone that comes with, oh, baby, calm down. It's going to be all right. Let's get along. But when you really look at the Prince of Peace and the historical elements of what a Prince of Peace is, it is a man. It is a Messiah. It is a king with a sword. Y'all don't want. So when you talk about the Prince of Peace, you're asking for God to send order. that comes sometimes through war. See, some of you think, why am I going through this spiritual battle? Why does it feel like I'm fighting against powers of darkness? It's because, guess what? God is trying to give you your peace back. But sometimes you got to fight for your peace. High five your neighbor, say, fight for your peace. So Jesus, you cannot separate the fact that he is king. Don't you understand that you can strip a king of his crown? You can strip a king of his garments. But what you must understand is that when you are royalty, it's in your blood. It is through the bloodline that we see royalty. You can strip Prince George of his crown. You can strip the queen of Queen Elizabeth of a place, and you can put her in Manhattan, New York, and displace her from England. But guess what? You can't take away that she has royal blood. The only way that you displace royalty is you have to kill royalty. Y'all catch that later. So, Brother Travis, you said Jesus was a criminal. Brother Travis, you said that he was a thief. Now, how can you prove that? If you tell me Jesus pulled off the greatest heist in history, tell me how he did it. Well, I told you he was not like the other criminals that he died alongside of. The criminals that died alongside of him, they stole material possessions. They stole jewels. They stole garments. They ran up in people's houses looking for items, looking for flat screens. They came with masks on, stealing physical possessions. But Jesus sees a woman at the well. And Jesus, through his conversation, he robbed this woman of her shame and her guilt. Yeah. Y'all gonna help me here today. Jesus, I'm talking about the same Jesus, your Savior, your Christ, your Lord. But he has criminality. He has criminality working out inside of him. He has. I know you see him as a miracle worker, but his identity in and of itself is criminal. You know. He finds these leprous guys, four leprous guys, and he robs them of the curse and being ostracized from the city. He robs them by healing them. Some of y'all gonna catch that next week. He robs the lame, and he robs the sick, and he robs the poor of this disgraced place from the margins of society. There's two blind men, and they're mute, and he spits in one of their eyes, and he spits in the ground, and he makes mud, and he puts it on a man's eyes, and he robs this man of his blindness so that the man would be able to see. I feel my help right here. There's a woman with the issue of blood that has a never ending cycle, and the fact that she touched his garments, he robbed this woman of her shame. He robbed this woman of being a woman that nobody would ever be in a relationship with. He robbed this woman of the never ending cycle. And I came to tell somebody that God came to rob you. God came to rob you of your shame. He came to rob you of your hurt. He came to rob you of your brokenness. There's a few 5,000 people at one particular time, and they've been listening to his teaching, but they're hungry, and they've been complaining, and they're operating in self-pity, but he robs them of that complaint, and he robs them of their hunger, and places and turns two fish and, oh God, five loaves of bread, and he makes a miracle and fed the 5,000. I can't came to tell you that we serve a master, but he's criminal. We serve a master that walked around Jerusalem robbing people. Oh, don't y'all understand that they thought he was criminal? Why? Because he sat with publicans and he sat with tax collectors and he set these people. He robbed the tax collector of his inability to actually be fair, and he allowed him to be able to be an honest man. Y'all know what I mean? I came to tell you, God will rob you of the stuff that you think you can't get rid of. God will rob you of that relationship that you think you can't get out of. I wish I had some help up in here. God will rob you of some stuff that you think you can't get out of. He'll make a way out of nowhere. He'll go before you and prepare a table before you, and he'll do it. I need you to high five somebody and say, he's a thief. He's a thief. He's a thief. Somebody ought to get excited right now because God stole some stuff from you that you thought you were going to live with for the rest of your life. You thought you was going to live in that sickness for the rest of your life. You thought you were going to live in that pain for the rest of your life. But I came to tell somebody that God will bring you through it. Touch a neighbor, say, neighbor, but that's not how the story ends. He doesn't just do it on behalf of the people. But see, Satan thought that allowing the Jewish leaders to put Jesus into custody and to bring him before Pilate and to bring him before Herod, the enemy thought, Satan Diablos, he thought that he had won the battle. He thought that he had won the victory. He thought, why? Because Jesus had a mole in his ministry by the name of Judas. Sometimes the only way you'll get caught up is you got somebody who runs their mouth. And so you have Judas who turns this thief who's been getting away with all these miracles, been getting away with all these signs, been getting away with all these wonders. And he gets Jesus to be incarcerates Jesus. So the Roman soldiers and all of them come out to Jesus. And Jesus looks at them and says, why do you all come out at me like that? Am I not criminal? Am I a criminal to you? And what I came to suggest to you, that the reason why they came out at Jesus as he was a criminal, because in their mind, he was criminal. Because there's some people that want you to stay the same. There's some people that want you to stay in the mess that you're in. But when Jesus comes by, he'll rob you. So now he's in their custody, and now he's told his disciples, listen, I'm gonna die, but on the third day I'm gonna be raised. They didn't believe him. They scattered all abroad. And so Satan is looking and saying, you know what? I got him now. I got the first Adam, and I'm gonna get the second Adam too. Why? Because I rule. I have the power over sin and death. And so now he's in their custody, and now they let a more criminal guy get out, and they place Jesus into custody. Why? Guess what? The charges that were brought against Jesus would only really equate to a fine or for him to be stoned. It did not warrant crucifixion. But they decided to crucify Jesus. And so Satan thinks, I've already won. I've won the battle because I've stopped his mission. I've stopped this escapade. I've stopped this thing that is happening. And so now he dies on the cross. He's brutalized. He's beaten. He's battered. He is scorned. He's spat on. He is pierced fist in his side. He is convulsing, nails in his hand, nails in his feet. But at this particular time, what they didn't know is that, guess what? That he was about to do something even greater. Before you can do greater works, you must realize that he did greater works. So he has one final act. Don't you know that any good thief will do a lot of small things until the big thing comes around? Because they like to practice their craft. And so now Jesus is there on the cross, and he dies on the cross, and they put him in a grave. And they put him in a grave. I feel my help, God. I'm feeling a little preachy up in here. So they put him in a grave and said, guess what? We're going to allow his body to decompose. We're going to allow. We're going to put a tomb. We're going to put a rock over him, because he definitely can't get out of this. I came to tell somebody that sometimes the enemy will try to put you in stuff and say, you'll never get out of this. He'll try to put a stone in front of you. He'll try to put a stumbling block in front of you and say, you'll never get out of this. But Jesus, on Sunday morning, I know Saturday was silent. I know they were mourning the death of Jesus on Friday and on Saturday. But on Sunday morning, somehow, there was a wind and there was a gust of wind that somehow crept in the crevices between the rock and the cave. And it came in like a mighty rushing wind. And it came through and went through his nostrils and went through his mouth. Because the Bible declares that the same power that works in Jesus that raised him from the dead works in us. So now Jesus somehow begins to move his hand. Somehow Jesus begins to open up his eyes and takes his grave clothes off. So now he gets up out of this. The angels move the stone, and Jesus was being able to move through his glorified body outside of the rock. And so what are you saying? The women said that came to the temple. They came to the rock, excuse me. And there at this rock, there was somebody who greeted them and say, I don't know why you're here, because he is risen. He is risen. Just like he said. What are you saying, Travis? I came to tell you that Jesus is a boss, because even though the enemy thought he had won, the fact that when the wind entered Jesus' body, when the Holy Ghost quickened his spirit, he had pulling off the greatest heist in history. Why? Because in that moment, the power of sin and death could no longer reign over you and I. The power of sin and death could no longer reign over me and you. Couldn't reign over my children or my children's children's children, because of the work of Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to get excited, because Jesus pulled off the greatest heist in history, the power to say that you would never get out of this, lost his greatest battle. And I came to tell somebody that he went down into hell and he stole the keys back from the enemy. He robbed Satan. In other words, he out-thiefed the thief and said, give me my keys back. I need you to lift up holy hands and say, devil, give me my keys back. Give me my authority back. Give me my power back. It belongs to me. Give me my wealth. Give me my prosperity, because it belongs to me. Give me my health, because it belongs to me. I need you to high five about two or three people and say, it belongs to me. That wasn't the right neighbors because they were acting. I know they came a little early, but they're acting a little sedated. I said, find two or three other people. Find two or three other people and say, get your stuff back. Get your stuff back. Jesus went before you in order to claim your stuff. But I got a claim ticket. Get your stuff back. You have power that you know not of. You have victory that you know not of. You have power that you know not. So he said, it's okay. I'll die. I'll play dead for y'all. Y'all check my pulse, and y'all set the greatest stage for me. You set the greatest stage, because nobody would have ever thought I would get out of this. Somebody ought to receive a word right now. That there's some people, somebody ought to get a flashback, because there's some people thought that you would never get out of some stuff that you got out of. See, y'all acting too holy for me. I need some real people, some real saints that you didn't even think you were gonna make it out of some stuff, but somehow the Lord. All right. Play softly, everybody standing. Yes, Shabbat. So today, Spirit of the Lord, I know it's kind of hard for us to think about it, but today the Spirit of the Lord wants to rob you of something. To somebody, he wants to rob you of your shame. That brings the shamelessness in your life. Some of you, he wants to rob you of your hopelessness, so that there will be a place for hope. Some of you, God wants to rob you of your selfishness, so that you can be more compassionate. Some of you, God wants to rob you. He wants to rob you of your complacency, so that you can have a space for courage and hope and love and passion to move forward. Today, maybe Jesus wants to rob some person this never-ending cycle of, I don't know what my purpose is, to create a space so he can show you your purpose. Just maybe he wants to rob the arrogant of their self-sufficiency so that they can really trust God. Because sometimes we can really only trust God when things are going right. But when things go wrong, we trust ourselves or we trust the people around us. He says, no, I want to rob you. Your arrogance to think that you can fix this by yourself. To know that you have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Maybe today God wants to rob you of your bitterness. Maybe today God wants to rob the atheist that may be among us of your skepticism. Just maybe he wants to rob the control freaks of their fears and their obsession. Maybe he just wants to do. Maybe he wants to pull off a heist in your life. Maybe he wants to rob you of your addiction. Just maybe. He wants to take what you have held on for over 20 years. that hurt, that pain. Maybe he wants to rob you of never moving forward because of what happened to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you are among us today and you don't know Jesus in your life. Or this is the day that you know that you need to rededicate your life to him. Maybe today, on Resurrection Sunday, you ought to make a fresh commitment to live for Jesus. If that is you, I want you to lift your hand in this room today. If that's you, I want you to lift your hands up with every eye, head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're watching us online. Because of the resurrection power of Jesus, he wants to resuscitate some things in your life today. If you would, just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're Christ, the Son of the living God. You died and was buried and rose on the third day so that I may have life, so that I may have the right to the tree of life. And because of this confession, I am saved. My eternal destination is secure. I can live on purpose. I can live with your power of the Holy Spirit working in me. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen. If you pray that prayer today,